Good afternoon and welcome to Garden Planet, another half hour where we've got the garden goss for you with your hosts, Selena.
And Karen. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Karen. How's your week been?
Oh, my week's been pretty hot and dry, but it's nice to see the rain finally starting to fall from the skies.
Hooray.
Yay.
What are we getting into in the garden? Well, this week the moon is going to be full tomorrow, so that means time for putting your bulbs in.
Mm-hmm.
Is drawing the water down to the roots.
Yeah, pulling those roots out of the bulbs.
Yeah.
Getting them established.
Yeah.
Have you found personally from your gardening experience that actually, have you noticed a difference?
Well, I've only just started doing this and following the lunar calendar after a few years of trial and error. So, but this has been going on for centuries with all the gardening wisdom.
Is this something that you learned from your permaculture course?
Well, actually, no. I learned this from my floral circle.
Oh. Group, yeah.
Yeah, this guy came, his name is Dale Harvey, and he just explained everything about it in a way that was really easy to understand.
Awesome.
And now I'm just a convert.
Wow. Okay. So, I didn't know that about you, Selena. That's really interesting. I've definitely heard of lunar gardening.
Yeah.
But I always kind of thought it was one of those kind of greeny, hippie type.
Kind of.
And I guess, you know what, some people may even feel that way a bit about permaculture itself. What can you tell us about permaculture?
Okay. For those listeners out there who have no idea what we're talking about when we're talking about permaculture, I have a definition for you that might easily explain it, because even when people ask me and I haven't prepared what I'm going to say because it's such a wide topic.
Totally.
So permaculture is the practice of producing food and energy, etc., using ways that do not deplete the Earth's natural resources.
Mm.
So it originated with two guys from Australia, one called Bill Mollinson and the other is Dave Holmgreen. So they were Aussie ecologists, and they have devised a sort of a system to catch energy and produce food or useful things like farming, but in ways that don't, so they're not importing outside materials. They're using what's there.
Yeah, local resources.
Yeah.
And I guess with them being based in Australia, it's like kind of paramount in, you know, extreme conditions over there.
Yeah.
How best to conserve, sustain your resources. And I guess they have organic practices as well.
Yep. Incorporates all that kind of thinking.
Awesome.
Sustainability and organic practices and environmentally friendly practices.
Okay. So basically, gardening, like future gardening in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's something that can be practiced in like a small amount of land, or do you need...
There's even urban permaculture where people have been using their land that was used for other purposes, but replenishing it and actually growing food from it that people thought was maybe contaminated or infertile, but they're regenerating it. So it's, I would say it's more like a regenerative agriculture.
Mm. Okay.
So, yeah.
I wonder if you could apply any of the principles, maybe, say if you're living in like a really high density, like on top of a rooftop or something like that, like maybe collect water or get, you know, like any little way
that you can.
So, I really like that concept, Selena.
It's just such a wide-ranging philosophy. There are publications that you can read about it. There's so much literature about it.
Mm.
And because we're in New Zealand and we're not like Australia where they have dry, sandy soil and sort of lack of water, you sort of have to adapt it to your region and find out what works best in your region.
Absolutely, yeah. And even within the region, these little ecosystems.
Yeah.
You know, even, yeah. So, I mean, things will grow. Selena and I live in West Auckland, so I find things will go great on your property and not so great on my property, and we're literally, you know, just a five-minute drive away.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. Well, thank you for clarifying that. That's awesome. Thanks.
Oh, that's just such a wide topic. I could go on forever.
Well, I wonder what... So you've got permaculture. So one last thing. So agriculture, is that like the opposite of permaculture, do you reckon?
So permaculture took its name from the meaning... perma meaning permanent and agriculture.
Yeah.
So a lot of permaculturalists are actually homesteaders, so they've maybe had a... bought a bit of land, already had it, and they're becoming self-sufficient in it. So they're putting in gardens and having animals as well, and they're sort of being diverse in what they're growing.
Okay.
And there's things like, instead of just an ordinary orchard, you have a food forest.
Right.
And you're growing not just annual vegetables, but perennial vegetables, and you're using every available space.
Okay.
And you're putting them in certain zones, so that it's all practical from your household.
Rather than just mass production and lines and fertilising to get something that resembles a fruit of... No. Well, yeah, but I must say I do enjoy organic produce. In the results you get, it's
just
yummy.
Tastes so much better. And totally. No pesticides, no herbicides, no chemicals used at all. So that's the really good thing, and I think everyone ought to learn, whoever practices gardening ought to have a look into it.
I mean, I think it does require a little bit more effort than just like, you know, mass weeding, throwing fertilisers on, you know, the standard practice. But I think in the long run, once you get it established, I've read that the garden will almost in a way start looking after itself.
That's right.
Yeah.
You'll find that the earth, well, in Auckland, you see the land used to be rainforest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it actually wants to be. So you have all the seeds in the ground that could become trees, but we've just been cutting them down.
Yeah.
And but actually the land wants to be rainforest.
Naturally, yeah. Although I have been told after reading about tribes trying to establish more commercial style gardens in forests or crops, that it has been a struggle, a constant struggle against the rainforest.
Thing is, Karen, things that we regard as weeds, permaculturalists say they're pioneer plants.
Right.
And so they're useful. They cover the ground, they keep it from eroding away.
Yeah.
And you can use these weeds as like biomass, which is material for your compost.
Oh, right. So maybe if they'd been taking the permaculture approach rather than just constantly slashing and planting in rows, things may, like working with the forest rather than against it, okay, so we don't all need to return to being hunters and gatherers just yet. Although that sounds fun in itself to me. I mean, yeah. This week you went and saw, went to a workshop at the community, Rānui Community Centre.
Yes.
Called the Rongoa Rako, is that correct?
It was a really interesting workshop. So Rongoa Rākau is to do with traditional Māori healing practices and using the plants around us, the native plants, as well as anything that can be used for healing. So
yes.
Joanne, who is the teacher, I've learned that she showed us all these different plants and explained to us all their properties and how to use them.
Did any stand out for you, Selena?
There was one that we all may know is puha.
Ah, yes.
And you can see it growing wild everywhere.
Yeah, I've got it growing in cracks on my driveway.
Oh, goody.
As we speak, yes.
And so that plant is really good. It protects the immune system. And if you boil it up and drink the juice or even eat it's a bit bitter, but
yes,
it works to purify the blood. It has lots of antioxidants, and there's lots of vitamins and minerals in it.
Okay, so not the nicest tasting if you were to eat it alone or make a tea, but highly beneficial.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one thing that Maori people do is they boil it up with some pork.
Yes,
so they
and
have it in a
watercress.
Yep,
as well.
So you're not eating it just by itself. You're having a delicious soup or broth out of it.
Yeah,
and it really helps if you're feeling a bit down or going to have a cold or something.
Just
bringing you back to really healing for your body.
Right, and Pūha also has a sap in it. I believe.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It's a bit
I've looked
milky.
At mine on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that can also be used on the skin as well.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
I don't know. That was just something I read a while back. One of the uses of Pūha, they're finding that for people that maybe might have, I don't know the type of melanomas, but there has been like research showing that the sap may, you know, be suitable for some certain types.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, help heal.
Yeah,
heal them. And the other thing I learned about Pūha, though it's not my rabbits love it. My neighbour's always coming over and asking, "Oh, have you got any Pūha?" For rabbits, they go absolutely crazy for it.
So if you're not sure what Pūha is, the other name for it is sow thistle.
Yes.
And so sow is like a pig. So you know,
yes,
just remember it by
and
that.
And maybe I think pigs enjoy it.
Did they?
I think I read that somewhere as well. Yeah, I must be something to do with the name. There's some connection with pigs and Pūha, rather than pork and Pūha. I don't know. Yeah, we must look that up.
And
listeners, we'll look it up for you.
We'll look it up. And not only Pūha, but there's other plants around us that grow wild that we can use in our broths, in our soups, and they're really good for us. So if you don't have Pūha, you might have dandelion.
Ah, yes.
And we had a question from someone, can you eat dandelions? So,
and what did you discover?
Yes, you can.
Excellent.
And dandelion is really good for your liver. So it removes all the toxins. You just boil it up the same way as you do Pūha.
Okay. Is that the entire plant or?
You can boil up the leaves, you can eat the stems, you can make it into a tea.
And the roots as well?
Yes, you can even cook the roots and drink, you know, the juice from it if you grind it up.
Yep.
That's how they say the dandelion root coffee is made.
Ah, yes.
Not that I've had it, but I'm not a big coffee fan, but you can try making coffee from dandelions.
Yeah, I think you need a fair few dandelions for that. Because when they dry, the roots, they shrink to half the size and then you've got to grind them up. So it sounds like quite a process, but I know people that, love dandelion root coffee. It sounds way healthier, although coffee's got health benefits too. But
might be the next big thing, Karen, instead of coffee beans from South America, we'll have dandelions.
Where it's not supposedly that sustainable. In some parts, I'm told. So look into that for sure. A field full of dandelions.
Yes, so don't get rid of your dandelions. Don't spray
them. Never.
You can eat them. And if you pick them, they'll grow back, so you can pick more.
Oh, they certainly will, yeah.
I don't understand the war against dandelions.
And even if you don't feel like, oh, I don't know if I want a dandelion tea right now, you can always hang them up and dry them and then, you know, store them and then they're available for when...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You mean dry the leaves or...
Or any part of the plant.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
So that's always, worth thinking of too.
Yeah.
The moment doesn't take you... It's not the most delicious of teas, just quietly.
It's a little bit bitter, isn't
it? A bit medicinal. Okay.
Yeah. So, don't spray your weeds. Just leave them to grow because they've got... See, weeds are plants that want to grow, and any plant that's vigorous will have some properties that make it so that they can survive, so that they're actually good for you. If they want to live, then they'll help you.
Did Joanne talk about how it is that you'll often... I found in the past when I used to spray and grew up with parents that would spray vigorously, often the weeds are the first things to come growing back. So they'll die for a bit and
they'll just come back.
And they're the first, like out of any of the plants, the weeds, it's back. And so for that reason, if you are going to go out and pick yourself a weed to eat, like say dandelion, and especially with it being, what do you call the roots that go?
A taproot.
Be vigilant if the area has been sprayed prior before because just to be aware of. Yeah. Because weeds will, I've been told they're almost like the band-aid of the earth. Like they will pick up
yes,
good things and not so. Mm. So, it's good to know what your soil's been through before you go chucking it in your mouth. Especially like root herbs with tap roots that are prone to pulling in lots of.
There's some other weeds also that Joanne showed us. Medicinal plants that it might have if your soil's a bit too wet for dandelions because they're like dry. You might have plantain.
Ah, yes,
which is kind of like a ribbed.
No. She wasn't just doing natives. She was doing natives and non-natives. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, just to clarify. Yep.
So that one too is also very good. The Maori name is kopa kopa.
Oh.
And apparently it's very good antibacterial. So you use the leaves and you can use it as a band-aid.
Ah, literally. Yes, I have read that.
Yes.
Yes, very cool. And also if you're out, you know, doing something in the garden or anything really and you cut your finger or toe or whatever, you can grab some plantain and I've been told put it in your mouth. This is something I read. Chew it up and then put it on your wound and then keep it there. And apparently and it has to be your saliva. You can't get someone else. You couldn't do it for your child or your mother or has to be those properties, I don't know if it's, I'd say it'd be enzymic, then go about rapidly trying to heal that cut, and apparently it works like just miraculously, like it will heal it very quickly.
Yeah.
So, that's an old wives' tale there. I've been told that it actually works well, so worth a shot.
Hooray.
Plantain.
There's one other that you might have, it's dock.
Ah, yes.
Which can work the same way, and the leaves can be quite huge, but it also makes a good bandage. You get stung by nettles, which
could be next door to the dock.
Exactly.
Yeah, how convenient. And with the leaves being so huge, they are a big leaf. They almost remind me, and they're as large as like the comfrey leaves.
Yes,
that would be a good use of, like, if you took a leaf and just put it on top of maybe your dry garden bed where the sun's, you know, is exposed to the sun. Could be used for that as well.
And good mulch.
Yeah.
So Karen, come along to the course if you're interested. And listeners, if you are free on a Thursday morning, 9:30 to 10-ish, down at the Rānui Community Centre each week for this term, Joanne's going to teach you all about these great plants that you can use medicinally.
Awesome. Thanks for that info, Selena. Hey, actually, while we're on the topic, are there any other events that we need to be aware of coming up?
So this weekend, Linda Helen, and the editor of the New Zealand Gardener, she's opening up her garden.
Right.
Yep, I mentioned that
for the
last
tea
week.
Party. Yes. I'm polishing off my china right now.
Foggy Dale Farm down in Hanua.
Yep.
So I'm hoping to get to that.
So that's happening, what date was that?
This weekend.
Okay, got it.
And next weekend, what are we doing, Karen?
And then next weekend at the Woodside Community Garden, we have our monthly working bee. So that's always a box of fun.
And
it is, actually. We have a lot of fun. But also, in conjunction with that, we have, what are we calling it? The
Take a Wander at Woodside.
Okay. Selena's actually organising this Take a Wander at Woodside morning, and that will begin, is it 9:30-ish?
Come around 10-ish.
Okay.
And we'll give you a tour of the garden.
If you come at 9:30, you get a job.
help us mulch and yeah. weed and compost.
And so there's going to be tours around our community garden that we partake in. Is there going, I heard a rumour that there was going to be a composting workshop. Yeah, was that
We can show you how to compost if you ask us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is quite. There's quite a lot going on now with the composting.
I think we'll give you morning tea.
We'll definitely be giving you morning tea. Herbal teas, hot and cold.
Maybe some dandelions.
Yep. Mixed together with the scone.
Oh, yeah. Are you making the scones, Karen?
It looks like I am now. If you can handle having a few broken teeth.
Yeah, so come along. It's down at Woodside Road, which is off at the bottom of Donbuck Road.
Yes.
So come
just
along.
Past the Universal Road roundabout. That should be a fun day. I think that was about it for this week, wasn't it?
Going to be busy.
Yes, it certainly is. Lots on all weekend. Yeah.
So, Karen, are you, last week you talked about the Seed Savers workshop that you went to with Judy.
Yes.
And there was so much that I learned from that you shared with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, with these seed saving activities, is there a local kind of group that you can join? Or where do you get the seeds from?
It's interesting that you mention that, Selena. Yes, there is. There's an institute called the Kaonga Institute.
Uh-huh.
I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Kaonga.
Kaonga.
And they are all about saving heritage seeds. So uh-huh. they've got basically a seed bank there. And now they have an online shop. So you can basically just go to their website and purchase seeds, whatever seeds you want, knowing that they're, you know, proper, you know, I don't know if they're all heirlooms. I didn't see that written on their website, but they are definitely quality seeds.
Oh, great.
So I read a bit about it and they were saying that if this establishment hadn't been established, we probably would have lost quite a few of our native, I don't know if you can call all vegetables native, but seeds that, you know, have been in New Zealand for a while and potentially would have been lost.
Oh, okay.
If it wasn't for. So they've got they've also got garden work. They're based in the Hawke's Bay.
Okay, yeah.
So for those that aren't in the Hawke's Bay, obviously online ordering is the way to go. And I looked on their website, they didn't seem to have a shop.
Okay.
Like a physical shop, so right. I think it's all. But they do have garden workshops. I think they have a permaculture centre there where you can go and, you know, really intensively learn about that.
Yeah.
The whole thing. So check it out. Their website, just Google Kaonga Seeds Kaonga Institute. It's Kaonga is the word you need to put in there. Another, Judy Keats also recommended King Seeds, which is, I think, another online ordering.
Yeah.
And they have catalogues as well, and they have an organic selection of seeds.
Yeah.
Which are like the heirlooms. And
So they're not GMO. Engineered seeds, cereal.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, organic.
And then I think they've got the whole other range for those people that are needing. Well, it just opens up when it's not just organic. You can, So they have something for everyone. And FYI, King Seeds is not related to the King's Garden Centre that we're familiar with. I don't know.
It's two different companies.
Yeah. In Auckland, anyway, I know that. Yeah. I thought they were linked when she first mentioned that. She said, no, they're two separate.
Yeah.
Which is worth knowing. And she also recommends Running Brook Seeds. It's a small seed company. I believe it's New Zealand owned. Don't quote me on that. And it's all organic.
Oh, wow. Okay. Running Brook.
Running Brook Seeds.
Great.
So that's where you can purchase them. Some good seed.
Okay. I did a little bit of research after I heard you talk about the seed saving for seed saving networks around Auckland.
Oh, okay.
And I did find that they do have one that meets, they have about 3 or 4 meetings a year at the Botanic Gardens.
Oh, yes, yes. That herb group that I was a part of often talked of that seed saving bank at the Botanical Gardens, yeah.
So I think anyone can join and you just share your seeds around, is that
pretty,
right?
Yeah, I believe that's, yes, I forgot about that one. Pretty simple concept, but effective in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about, really.
Yeah. Must get along to that one day.
Yeah, definitely. So what was the name of that?
I think it's just called Auckland Seed Savers.
Okay.
And they do have meetups and website. They don't look like they have a huge online presence, but I think they just loosely network through Facebook and stuff. So maybe just Google... Put it into Facebook if you're on Facebook, and they'll have a group there, and then you can talk to other people who are saving their seeds.
But I am getting the feeling that this whole seed saving movement is gaining pace. Like, yeah. I don't really, I feel like the conversations are being had more and more, so that's really encouraging. I'm excited about that, and I think the next time I myself purchase seeds, but I don't normally need to because I just chat to friends or people.
Just swap
them. Or we'll just like grab a plant from your garden. It's, yeah, that's the whole culture of how it works. So, but I will definitely be going, checking out Running Brook Seeds for sure. Mm. That looks awesome.
One thing the seed saving reminded me was at Ranui Community Garden, they did save seeds and would put them in their cafe for people to take.
In the what's that cafe called? The
Cafe Kōrero.
Kōrero meaning to chat. I have seen those there. I went there once for a cappuccino and noticed their shelves with seeds. And I think you just take them.
Free.
Okay, great.
You might take the whole lot.
Love it.
Just
clear them out, Selena.
Maybe that's something we can start doing at Woodside because I don't think we do a lot of that. We tend to get our seeds from people that give them to us.
But. Yeah, and they're usually the dregs of the pile. Yeah, I definitely think that's something worth looking into, yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe, did you have another question about that seed saving chat we had last week?
Oh, yes. How long can you keep seeds for?
Yes, sorry, guys, I forgot to mention that. It's quite important because I've actually always wanted to know that myself as I rummage through my garage before I get here and there's just, like, bags of seeds. I don't know how long they've been there.
Yeah.
Judy says corn and parsnip are only viable for 1 to 2 years. I don't know why it's just corn and parsnip. And most other seeds, 2 to 3.
Okay.
So... there you go. I would say a good couple of years, play it safe.
Yeah.
And corn and parsnip, I don't know if that's just, 1 year.
Best to use some fresh, eh?
Yeah. The fresher the better. So she says collect basically every year. Every time they fruit and flower.
Yeah.
Just collect more.
Yeah.
And make it a part of your gardening regime. All right. So I guess we're nearing the end of our session, guys. So if you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to email us on gardenplanetfm@gmail.com.
And you can check out the website in case you missed our last broadcast at planetaudio.org.nz/garden-planet.
Oh, well done, Selena.
So,
on to it.
We're looking forward.
Don't forget the hyphen.
We're looking forward to hearing from you and answering your garden questions next week.
All right, all you green thumbs.
Happy gardening.
Bye.
Bye.